This is the 16th of July, 1982, and the 22nd oral history interview with Mr. W.R. Pogue, retired member of Congress from the 11th Congressional District of Texas. This oral history interview is sponsored by the Baylor University Program for Oral History. My name is Thomas L. Charlton, and I'm working with Mr. Philip Thompson, administrator of the Pogue Library at Baylor University. We're on the Baylor campus in the Tidwell Building in room B-19, a seminar room which belongs to the Department of Religion. Mr. Scott McDaniel is the video camera operator this morning. Mr. Pogue, we're very pleased to continue our series of oral history interviews with you. And Phil and I have been working up to a point where we could ask you about some very traumatic events that occurred in the life of the nation, events surrounding the death of the President of the United States in the fall of 1963. As in the case of earlier presidential deaths, assassinations, deaths in office, the death of President John F. Kennedy was a shock to the nation and no doubt was a shock to you also. I wonder if we might go back to the fall of 1963. Mr. Kennedy made a trip to Texas. He visited several places in Texas, and his life ended on November 22, 1963 in Dallas. What do you recall of that Kennedy visit to Texas that fall?
Well, you mean just the time of the assassination? I was not in Dallas. Of course, all of us, as a Texas delegation, realized that the president was coming to Texas to make a tour of the state. I believe he spoke in Houston 2 days before he went to Dallas, and then to San Antonio, and then to Dallas was the way he went.
How much was a congressman involved in planning a presidential tour of that type?
Not at all. As a congressman, everybody wanted the president to come to his district. And that was about as much as you can say that the congressman had to do with the planning. I think it's fair to say that Vice President Johnson, I was the final arbiter as to where the president would go and what would be the schedule and the program. Of course, he was the leader of the Texas group in Washington. I and Mr. Kennedy recognized that he was losing some strength in Texas. I think we all recognized that.
Why was he losing strength in Texas? He had carried Texas, not by a large number of votes at all. It was very close, in fact.
Yes.
Why was the Kennedy-Johnson administration losing its hold over Texas?
I think that it was what happens in practically every administration, that the incumbent, particularly in the first term, always loses strength as that first term progresses. And Kennedy was no exception to that. I don't think that it was the result of the friction between Johnson and some of the Kennedy group. That hadn't developed as an issue in Texas. As I see it, it had become apparent to some of the professional politicians. They recognized the split there. But I don't think the people of Texas recognized any such split at that time. I think that it existed, but I feel that Kennedy, like every other president, was unable to do many of the things that he had hoped to do. No president is able to do them. He was not achieving the stardom that many of his friends had anticipated at the time that he I took office, and it was just a slip away. He hadn't paid much attention to Texas. He had, as I see it, Kennedy had more or less left Texas to Lyndon Johnson. And there was beginning to be a feeling that the president wasn't interested in Texas. That always occurs with presidents. And I think that most of the party leaders, particularly including President Johnson, were recognizing that and feeling that it was time to have the president come to Texas and to rekindle the interest on the part of the Democratic voters.
Where were you at about that time?
Well, I was home. I was in Waco. And I am not sure. I think we had been here for some little time. We were keeping up with the president's schedule, and rather than trying to go to all of the places where he was appearing, it was contemplated we'd have a big rally at Austin the night he was killed. He was killed in the morning, and that night it was planned to have a big rally in Austin, a statewide rally, and I planned to be there. I left Waco about, 10 o'clock in the morning with Carlton Smith, a local lawyer here who was my good friend and business partner. Two or three others, I can't remember exactly who was in the party. Ross Seegerst, who was then manager of the Brazos Electric, I believe, was with us, and possibly one or two others. There were a carload of us. Started down to Austin. Just after we left Belton, going south, we'd planned to eat lunch at Salida. And just after leaving Belton, we turned on the radio in the car. And now I think this was some little time after the actual shooting that we first heard it, because we did not hear the incident reports of the shooting, but we heard the commentators giving their remarks. That was our first intimation that the president had been killed. I remember very well that Carlton, who was a rather emotional man, burst into tears and was crying about it. We went on to Salida and went into the Stagecoach Inn there, and everybody, of course, they had loudspeaker going on giving report. Of course, nobody knew exactly what had happened at the moment or how it had happened. They knew that the president had been shot. We didn't know whether he was actually dead or not, because they'd taken him to the hospital, and we were getting that report. We sat there, and everybody else in the dining room was completely stunned. Don't think anybody ever ate much of a meal there. Everybody's interest was on that of the president's. We knew it was attempted assassination. We didn't know at that time that he had actually died. I believe we learned that shortly after we left Salida. We went on to Austin, not knowing for sure whether there would be some kind of meeting held there, because it was supposed to be a statewide meeting. We went on to Austin, went down to the Austin Hotel, and of course there were a number of politicians from various parts of the state there at that time, and we found a number of them that we knew, and of course everybody was simply reviewing what had gone on in Dallas. By that time we knew the president was dead, and we knew that President Johnson, Mrs. Kennedy had taken off in the plane with the body to go to Washington. We knew that much. That was about all we knew at the time. Of course,
what happened for the rest of that day in Austin where you were?
Everybody was simply doing what we were doing, simply milling around talking to the whoever they could meet and learning nothing, but criticizing Dallas. Most of the conversation that went on, as I recall it there, had nothing to do with the real politics, but they're condemning Dallas as being the scene of the murder because of the criticism that had been coming from Dallas, criticism of the president. I believe Bruce Alger was congressman at that time, and Bruce was in very bad repute with at least with the Democratic faction in Washington, and much of Dallas was. Dallas was the scapegoat for the whole thing. They didn't talk so much about Oswald as they talked about the city of Dallas. And Kennedy shouldn't have gone to Dallas. And Dallas was a place where nobody's life was safe. Of course, they went to extremes. I suppose I did, and I suppose all the rest of us did at that time.
How had you felt about the president's visit to Texas in the first place? What had you thought about Mr. Kennedy coming into your home state, and what might be accomplished there, and the question of his safety and so on?
I had thought that he should make the trip, and I suppose that I thought so largely because Lyndon Johnson said that he should. I felt that it was important that we have Texas backing the president. And if Mr. Johnson felt that this was the way to achieve some of it, why, I was glad to try to help it along. And I had thought that it was a good thing for him to come to Texas.
How much at that time did you know about the political atmosphere in Dallas?
Very little.
Adlai Stevenson had been roughed up in Dallas before, and there had been others who had been verbally and otherwise attacked in Dallas.
That's correct.
How did you feel about all of that?
Well, I resented it, and all of the group that I was associated with that day were very bitter about it. That's what I was trying to say, is that the public that was gathered there at Austin from all over the state seemed to be more interested in condemning Dallas than they did any other feature of the murder.
And most of the
criticism. Of course, John Conner was shot at the same time, and there was a good deal of conversation about that, particularly in Austin, because
what was the talk about the governors being shot as well?
Well, the people thought that was more or less accidental, and that the governor just happened to be in the wrong place at that time. I think everybody regretted to hear about the shooting of Governor Conner. We didn't know how serious it was. But there was always the possibility at that time that it might turn out to be fatal, but everybody recognized that. But I think it's fair to say that they looked upon it as just one of those unavoidable incidents connected with Dallas, the hatred in Dallas for Kennedy, and for all Democrats for that matter.
Phil had a question a moment ago.
I was going to ask you, it seems most of the opposition to Kennedy in Dallas came from the right wing, or
yes,
from people more conservative than
I would
the president.
Say so, yeah.
Kennedy. And yet he was assassinated by a man later found to be a Cuban sympathizer, a left-winger. Did this, when this fact came out, did the opinion toward Dallas change? Did people...
Think over the years it has changed, yes.
What about in the first few months?
I think it was very slow in changing. I think it lasted quite some time. In fact, it went on for several years. I think it's very slow. I don't think it's entirely erased yet.
What were the issues that the conservatives in Dallas found so objectionable about President Kennedy?
Well, of course, he, like a lot of other people, didn't think he was giving the oil industry a fair break, for one thing. I think it's fair to say that Dallas is a right-wing city, and has been for a great many years, and that they looked upon Kennedy as one who was going to destroy their way of life. They didn't look upon Johnson with as much suspicion, although they later came to feel almost the same about Johnson that they had about Kennedy, I think.
Did the civil rights questions figure into this?
I, of course, civil rights figured into it, but I never thought that civil rights played nearly as large a part as the economics did. I think that the Dallas attitude came largely from the fact that the people who were running Dallas were at that time far more dependent upon the oil industry than they are today. The oil industry has moved to Houston since that time. I mean, the great book of management of it. But at that time, Dallas was probably the center of it, and Kennedy was not cooperating with them as they thought he should. And the Democratic Party hadn't cooperated with them as they thought he should.
Was President Kennedy neglecting Texas?
I rather think so. I think that he was consciously avoiding Texas in an effort to avoid any friction with Lyndon Johnson. He was seeking to let Johnson run Texas. Seems to me to be.
Then the follow-up question, Mr. Pogue, is how well was Lyndon Johnson running Texas if Mr. Kennedy had turned that over to the vice president?
Well, I don't know. Lyndon Johnson was looking at the political angle of things and paying very little attention to the economic side of the thing, except as it involved politics directly. I think that group that was running Dallas at that time, I had some grounds for feeling that they had been ignored at Washington and were still being ignored, and I think that they've had that feeling for a long time, and I think it still exists not to the degree that it existed back there in the 60s, but I think that there's still quite a bit of that feeling in Dallas.
In the days following the assassination, what was your schedule?
I'm trying to think. My recollection is, and sort of hazy, that Ms. Pogue and I caught a plane to Washington the next morning early and were in Washington by noon the next day. I know we were up there that next day because I know that they had the body, Kennedy's body, in the rotunda of the Capitol, and I, like thousands of others, went by and visited. We went back just as quickly as we could. We were in Washington, of course, at the time of the funeral, and I don't remember just all we did. Of course, I attended services for the president. He let his body lie in state, I believe it was for about 36 hours, as I recall it, in the rotunda of the Capitol. And all during that time, even 2 o'clock in the morning, there were lines of people going by. The House and Senate both, of course, had sessions, and passing resolutions and that sort of thing. But the funeral took place down at the Catholic Cathedral. And of course, it wouldn't begin to hold. They did reserve seats for the members of Congress. I was there. Ms. Polk couldn't. I mean, they didn't have seats for. Had seats only for the members themselves. I remember that she waited for me after it was over, down on Constitution Avenue, waiting in the car there on a very, very cold day for several hours, because it was a very slow undertaking, and they went on out to Arlington Cemetery, and of course, as everybody knows, buried the president in Arlington Cemetery, and where, of course, now there are other members of the family buried there. There was some criticism at that time about burying him in Arlington Cemetery, in as much as they felt that wasn't a military burial, but rather a political one. And I have since then, I admit that I didn't realize the situation at the time, but since then I've come to believe that it was probably a mistake to bury various Kennedys in Arlington Cemetery. It's true that they had served in a military way, and I'm sure under the law had the right to be there, but I mean it. The president...
Where did those who were critical of this believe he should have been buried, as you recall it?
Back in Massachusetts. That's just a matter, I suppose, of personal feeling. I thought that the burial of Lyndon Johnson was far more appropriate when he was... Of course, he wasn't president at the time he was buried, but I thought it was far more appropriate to be buried at his own, in the old Johnson Cemetery, where his people were buried. That's just a matter of personal feeling, I think.
The nation, and indeed the world, looked on during those days when the president's body was lying in state and all of the funeral proceedings occurred, and the lighting of the eternal flame at the gravesite of John F. Kennedy occurred. Never before had people throughout the world had an opportunity to see such proceedings. How did you feel at that time about the television coverage of all of that?
Well, I thought it was very good. I thought that it was something that people should have a chance to see if they could. I still think so. I think that was desirable. On the other hand, I felt as an individual that had it been my family, I wouldn't have wanted it that way. And maybe that's the reason I feel that he might well have been buried in Massachusetts. But as I say, that's a matter of individual feeling. I don't think that you can... say if anybody's right or wrong about it. Of course, some people feel one way and some people feel another. I thought then, and I still think, that the Kennedy family has always sought publicity in everything they did. Take advantage of every opportunity to get published in. I think that occurred even in the burial of the president.